So maybe we just quickly move on to Paradise Papers.
Wow, one minute for the largest leak of documents in the global history.
How about that?
Even 20th Century Fox technology.
Well, the big story, of course, in the 30 seconds we have left is that, unsurprisingly, the rich are hiding their tax in havens and everybody's involved, and that's why we don't have money to give you the things that government says it can't afford.
Justin Trudeau's money, man. How about that?
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
that's
I think the more more digging they go through all these papers, because there's just so many documents, the links that they will be uncovered in the coming weeks, it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, and we'll be watching it here on The Gristle. Tintin, anything from you? Do you reckon anything's going to come up out of these Paradise Papers?
I want to see what's going to happen with 20th Century Fox and all these places. There's the news with Disney this week, but it's just going to be coming thick and fast. The Queen has been implicated as well.
Oh,
so
yes.
Our head of state. Oh, so British, is she a British citizen? I heard a rumour.
Anyway, look, we're going to have to go.
Citizen.
That was The Gristle.
She's a dual citizen.
That was The Gristle for this week. Come back next week. We'll be here again. And guess what's coming up? It's Gay Panic.
Welcome to my Caucasian home.
Oh my God.
Talented Orient. Show stopping.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Spectacular.
My name is Ekaterina Petrovna Zamochkova.
Yeah, big gay out.
But you can call me Katya.
Diverse representations of trans people in the media, I think, are so important.
I guess I just look different.
Sing it.
I am proud to be gay.
Sing the fucking song.
Well, all right. If you insist, I'll sing my song.
Yeah.
Song.
Gay Panic with Jack and Jake.
My machine. What's mine? I drifted, shaped.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
How are you? Oh my God, stop.
I'm just coming on to you.
This is the gay show. We talk about LGBTIQ, PCA things, all that sort of good stuff on your Friday night. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Yeah.
It's... That's all I've got to contribute.
Yeah, I'm just like eagerly awaiting Wednesday, to be quite frank.
Wednesday, true. The reveal of the postal survey, this, what, 12 million? I can't even remember how much it was.
122 million.
Oh my God.
Yeah, oh my God. It's just like a measly 12 million. Like, I could have a 12 million mansion in my pants.
Two houses in Vaucluse is what that buys you.
Yeah.
But also, it could buy a lot of pencils for schools.
Yeah.
It could buy. Swabs.
It could buy a nice little salad that I could have for dinner. I'm a bit peckish, but Gay Panic, Jack and Jake with you for the next hour. Tom Ballard coming up soon. That's exciting. And maybe he'll have some interesting commentary amidst this postal survey. We are like edging. We're nearing the end.
We are so close to the end. It is almost coming full orgasm. But Tom is going to be performing at Yak, the comedy festival going over at Giant Dwarf at the moment, just down in Redfern. He's going to be recording Like I'm a 6-Year-Old, the podcast that he does with Stan Grant. So I think it's episode number 198 or something.
Yeah.
Absurd. A lot of effort, time, money. Money, maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
Pencils, too. Lots of pencils used.
Microphones. But we'll be having a chat to him about what that conversation is about and what Like I'm a 6-Year-Old is about, if you haven't heard it before.
Yeah.
The Arts 100 of 2017 has been revealed.
Meaning the top 100 queer celebrities across the globe. I don't know where this, Out the Magazine?
Out Magazine, yeah.
Right, okay.
So it's basically people who have had an influential input into the progression of LGBTI rights. Typically, that's what it's based on throughout 2017 and beyond into 2018, hopefully. A lot of the people who appear on that list are activists. There's a lot of writers, musicians, composers, producers. We'll talk you through. There's a lot of people, lots of different jobs.
There's actually 100 of them.
There's 100.
Oh, like 100. And we're 2 of them, actually.
Yeah, so we've been announced. We don't want to spoil anything, but...
We're number 3.
So we will go through a few of those people and just kind of profile them, let you know maybe why they're on the Out 100 list.
And going back from what the Gristle was talking about, obviously amidst postal survey, but the amount of disposable income that could potentially come onto the economy, given that there is a yes follow-up, like... We've been talking about this. How long have we been talking about the postal vote now? When was it announced?
Look, can't even remember. Timeline's gone. 6 months ago, maybe?
About that time. Yeah. But we've been talking about it a lot, a groundswell of, you know, discourse, a lot of people bantering back and forth about yes, no, yes, no. It's being sky, like written in the sky by a plane, and it all comes to a close on Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning. But so true. This is non-binding, so who knows what the Australian government will do with it. In fact, if they act on it at all, like, I feel like there must be some political pressure if the vote, yes vote, is overwhelming in that direction. It's going to push them in one way or another. I'm just hopeful that it's an actual move towards legislation.
I think they will have to do something, because if they have spent all this money and, you know, utilised taxpayers' money to fund a survey, which pretty much they already understand how the Australian public stands on it, they just want, for some reason, to do it in a physical format. If they don't do anything, there will be uproar within the queer community and people will not take that lying down. I think the good thing about this survey is that it has kind of sparked a bit of a fire under the arse of some people who would otherwise lay dormant, like young, comfortable gay people who are okay with their sexuality, who may have grown up in the 21st century and been totally welcomed by their family or by their parents and peers, whereas older members of our community probably didn't have that same welcoming environment. Even people within now the 21st century may not have been lucky as you and I to have caring parents and may still be experiencing hardship. But the ones who have had it relatively okay in terms of coming out, which you should, because it shouldn't be hard, will kind of just sat back and were like, I'm okay with, you know, this. I don't have to be an activist for my own people. I'm okay with being gay. All my friends are okay with it. But I think it has sort of sparked that fire that we needed to push some sort of upward movement towards making it law and making it legal.
And I think the most important thing, and I think a conversation that we've had on this show like plenty of time, is that this is an ode to the generation that has come before us. Right now, neither of us necessarily want to, or like, should we have the opportunity at some point, I imagine that we'd both like to get married. But right now, right here, right now, probably not
ring.
For
yeah. I need a really expensive
$1 million wedding and 4,000 houses in Vaucluse. But it is as like you're saying there, getting that political momentum and that excitement from the youth in the queer community, because we're only at this point now for the people who've paved the way before us. So if anything, I think that we need to stick to our guns as the queer community and be like, hey, this is not just for our own rights, but for the rights of the people who made it possible for us to live our lives today as gay people, as lesbian, as trans, as the queer community. So it's for them. It's not just for us. It's for all of us, really.
We're also going to be touching on some things that have happened in Mardi Gras over the past couple of days, some stuff to do with board members, some things to do with the Mardi Gras Film Festival tickets going on sale, and highlighting a few of our favourite films, maybe some that you can get down to. Also, we have a big announcement. Should we talk about that?
I think so, yeah. So, Gay Panic has been on the radio, I'm thinking it's like five years. Because Star Observer Digital was the pop-up radio station that happened over the course of Mardi Gras. Was the first year back in 2012 or 2013?
2013.
Right, okay. So we will be kind of coming up to a near 5 year period on the radio, but this will in fact be our last year
doing
Gay Panic.
So Jake and I have decided to take a step back from the airwaves and, you know, just really get some rest and relaxation.
Get our Friday nights back.
Yeah, but being born from the ashes of Gay Panic will be another queer show that's going to be airing onto SCR in some form or another, which is pretty exciting. So it will take a different concept. It may be an hour, it may be half an hour, it may be talks, it may be music-based, but it will remain a queer voice, because 2SER has been pretty pivotal in the promotion of gay content on your airwaves, even since it was illegal to be homosexual within Sydney.
Yeah.
Gay Waves, a program which basically was the founding
pioneering
program and conversations that you wouldn't have heard at that time otherwise, and really did pave the way for it to be possible to be able to talk about this kind of stuff, and for Jake and myself to be able to have these conversations with you and speak with all of these wonderful people that we have been able to over the past kind of 5 years or so.
Yeah, it's coming up to the end of the month, so I think our last show officially is the 24th of November, which is a fortnight's time from today. So we're here with you tonight, and then also for the next 2 weeks. And make sure that you pop in your diaries. We're doing another collab crossover with Hardcore Classic, the hip-hop show that happens straight after this one, and that's for next week. That's the 17th. But in the meantime, we've still got a program for you tonight and some musicola.
We do indeed. We're going to spin a new track from Fever Ray right now before we get to some stuff from Thruppence, who just dropped today, and Grace Mitchell. We've also got a brand new one from Little Sims, who's released a deluxe edition, and there's a really cool track of her teaming up with just a spoken word artist.
Oh, right. You know, Lil Sims also just did a collab with Gorillaz.
Mm.
Yeah, they released, like, because they had their album Humans that came out earlier this year, and now they've got, like, a new single that's come out with the two of them. Maybe we'll spin that one a little later on.
Lil Sims is, like, a producing machine.
Yeah, she's absurd. Amazing.
She just puts stuff out, like, every year. But anyway, Fever Ray. Not as good as their last stuff, as good.
For those who are familiar with Fever Ray, one half of the infamous The Knife, Swedish electro experimental pop duo, back with her second record. In my opinion, not as strong as her first, but this is one of the better tracks on the album, Mustn't Hurry, in my opinion. Enjoy this one. Jake and Jack with you on Gay Panic. Tom Ballard coming up in a minute.
Shameless moment soon gone. Shameless moment. Hometown Festival celebrates everything that is weird and wonderful about the Inner West. This Sunday, November 12, is a full day of entertainment and activities. Catch local live music, get hands-on in the Eco Village, soak up some live art and feast on the tasty food offerings. As the main fundraiser for the Newtown Neighbourhood Centre, your generous contributions at the gate will go towards helping the team support the vulnerable and at-risk members of the local community. Newtown Festival, this Sunday, November 12, at Camperdown Memorial Rest Park. 2CR proudly supports Newtown Festival.
Bitch, when your pussy is Oscar worthy, holla at me. But until then, shut your fucking goddamn mouth.
Gay Panic, telling it like it is.
Jumping back in time, I remember when All the Things She Said, that's Tattoo, by the way, not going to get us. I remember when All the Things She Said first came out, and they're like the young Russian girl duo. And yeah. So they were very much playing up like the lesbian shtick. And someone, I was in primary school, I think I must have been like 9 or 10 at the time, and someone came up and they're like, you know Tattoo are lesbians? And I'm like, yeah. And I thought it was a religion.
Oh, you thought lesbianism was a religion?
Because I was like so young and didn't even have any concept of, you know, gay, straight, whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, they're lesbians. Like thinking it was like they were practicing Buddhists or something like that. But anyway.
That is adorable, yeah. And so cute.
Flashback for you. And just before that, new stuff from Fever Ray off the album Plunge. That one was Mustn't Hurry, one of the better tracks on that record.
Yeah, which is kind of sad considering how brilliant some of the releases from Fever Ray have been in the past.
That's just my opinion though.
Hey, Yak Festival is on at the moment at the Giant Dwarf. It is a festival all about chatting, comedy, laughs, those kinds of things you can expect while you're there. One of the men who will hopefully be bringing the comedy and the laughs to you and the words as well is Tom Ballard, who's going to be doing a live recording of Like I'm a 6-Year-Old with Stan Grant. Tom, thank you so much for joining us on the line tonight.
Hey, girls.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, my God. I don't know if it's going to be very funny. I feel like people have been pushing that angle too much. I mean, I'm obviously hilarious, but we're talking to Stan Grant about, you know, the situation of race in Australia and the history wars and Indigenous disadvantage. So I don't know if it's going to be funny, guys.
Where are you going to start?
I guess we should tell a joke at the start. I got nothing. He's a very serious man, a very smart man. I think he's got a good sense of humour. Mm. But I'm excited about having a big old conversation with him about important things. And I'll ask dumb things and everyone will laugh at me. That'll be the funny bit.
Well, because listening to Like I'm a 6-Year-Old, it is definitely a lengthy conversation and not necessarily...
I'll put that on the poster. That's lengthy.
Well, I'm just saying that it is, you do delve into kind of all sorts of territory and there's nothing that's off limits, which is great, but it's definitely, it's not tinged with that comedy that I think we're used to as well from you, which is in your stand-up. Is that something that you really wanted to get through with this? Because it's been going for such a long time now as well.
It's been going a couple of years. When I started it, I was like, the world does not need another podcast of comedians talking to other comedians. And I hope that every now and again we land on something pretty naturally funny and we can have fun with that. And I like to think that even though I care passionately about politics and issues, as do a lot of my guests, we still have a sense of fun and still have a sense of humor about it. But that it's supposed to be a real conversation as much as possible. And I love that about podcasting in that, you know, unlike live TV or radio, when politicians or people are trying to get a political point across or on air, they're always thinking about the grab or they're just repeating themselves over and over the approved line. In these kind of conversations, you can kind of, dig in a little bit deeper and talk about why people believe what they believe and where they're coming from and a little bit more nuance, I think, which is what we maybe need in public debate about politics.
Not to take away any of the magic of it or go too far behind the scenes, but when you do have these conversations, how do they play out? Do you, like, literally air the entire chat you have or do you take bits and bobs out? Or, like, the terrible bits?
I'll cut down the podcast.
It is lengthy.
It's too long. You guys are so busy. You don't have an hour 10 to listen to me talk to someone. Jeez. I do try and cut them down a little bit, but I also think they're free and often I just find myself being really interested in what the person is saying, either getting head up and angry at them and disagreeing with what they're saying and yelling in their face about why they're wrong about the state of the world, or just hearing amazing stories and wanting to hear more from them. So. Yeah, most episodes are about an hour. Tomorrow's show is going to be 90 minutes, and that'll be a good half an hour of audience questions. So I'm sure people coming along will have lots to ask Stan about his incredible life and his work and what he thinks about, how Indigenous Australians are faring in Australia in 2017. So that'll be great to not have to worry about wrapping up too soon.
And throwing that question right back in your face, how do you think Indigenous Australians are faring in 2017?
Oh, boy! look, I mean, obviously I'm an expert because I did First Contact last year with
Absolutely.
Natalie Imbruglia, so I know everything. I think, Stan was on the Referendum Council, right, which considered the Uluru Statement from the Heart, which was asking the Australian Parliament to consider the idea of putting in the idea of an Indigenous voice to Parliament to the people, and I think the way that suggestion was received, immediately rejected, and not respected in any way was deeply depressing. And I think when you have hundreds of Indigenous people coming together in the first time in our history to really talk about those issues and the things that are important to them and what constitutional recognition would look like to them, and to have it so immediately dismissed by the political class to be very depressing. Mm-hmm. But I also know that Stan is this kind of big optimist, and he loves talking about all the incredible survival of First Nations people in this country and the good news story, like, you know, Indigenous people are, you know, going to university, record numbers and that kind of stuff. So I'm sure he will bring that measured perspective to stuff. He loves talking about the good news stories that we maybe don't always hear, this kind of deficit narrative that we hear a lot when we're talking about Indigenous people in this country. So I'm interested to ask him about that for sure.
How does it compare to do those sorts of conversations live as opposed to in the studio? Like, that's a lot of territory to navigate through.
Yes. We'll fix it all, guys. We'll fix racism in an hour.
I'm excited. Remember, yay! You know, not $120 million to fix something institutionally wrong. Just one conversation.
There you go. See? Malcolm, you should give me money. But Stan was the one, you know, was talking about when all that Captain Cook statue thing blew up with the Charlottesville protests and you know, Stan wrote an article suggesting that maybe we should change that statue in Hyde Park that says that Captain Cook discovered Australia, because that's just not historically accurate. And then some people called him the Taliban. I'm interested in what he makes of that kind of stuff too, how we don't seem to be able to have a mature conversation about just basic historical facts because people's white guilt wears up way too quick.
Do you think there's an aspect, I think within Australia, some people tie, especially me coming from the country, whenever I see an Australian flag, I just automatically assume racist. I don't know why. But there's something strange about the culture of Australia that is, I don't know, this idea of having national pride is also linked with an idea of racism. Is that something that you might bring up or that you've already sort of discussed or investigated yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you know, keep in mind we're in a country that for its first 70 years as a nation had a thing called the White Australia Policy. Mm. That was a real aim of ours, a real preference for white people to come into this country and other people to stay out. I mean, you just can't do that as a country and expect it to just be resolved with one vote in the early 70s. That's not how these things work now. And, you know, the kind of unfinished business at the heart of all of it, the fact that this country was invaded and lands were stolen off the First Peoples, we still haven't really dealt with that. But, of course, people don't like to think about that because that makes them feel uncomfortable. And so your Mark Lathams and your Andrew Bolts and your Miranda Devines would much rather that stuff be pushed to the side and, you know, celebrate all the good things about Australia and deny the very blatant racism that we see everywhere.
What about the fact of multicultural Australia? I think there's something that can be said for this idea that obviously Australia is probably it's one of the most, if not the most, multicultural country in the world at the moment because of this big recent survey that's come out and obviously brought out those results. But multicultural Australia, I think there's a tendency for people to say, we're not racist, we're super multicultural, but do you think that's just glossing over the fact that we don't have to address this problem that we do have with our Indigenous population that never really got addressed and now we're just trying to move forward with this idea of multiculturalism as being the new not racist? Is that something?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, look, there is a great story to tell if you squint, if you look at certain facts and ignore others about the way Australia deals with race and the way that a whole bunch of communities post-war came out and did flourish in lots of different ways. But, I mean, still lingering all over that, you've got the Stolen Generation still continuing into the 70s as well. Mm. Today you have these huge incarceration rates for Indigenous people, disadvantage that affects remote Indigenous communities and, you know, the billions of dollars spent on Indigenous disadvantage every year, not really pulling out a lot of great results. I think the Close the Gap report showed that we're only on one track for one of the seven targets to close the gap between white and black Australia in 2017. And that is, you know, Indigenous kids finishing year 12, which is good, but, you know, child mortality rates and stuff are still going backwards in some respects. So, yeah, it's this sticky business at the heart of everything that you cannot ignore and you cannot claim that we're not a racist society when this stuff continues to happen and when a lot of people feel like they don't want to keep having that conversation. And when maybe a whole bunch of us don't want to sacrifice things, either power or money or influence or attention, for the sake of lifting our fellow Australians up, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I think if you've been given the privilege, then you should do something with that privilege. And it sounds like you are, Tom. So I am super proud of you.
Yes. Yes, it's me. I'm fixing it, everyone. The best thing you can do to your privilege is spend your money on tickets to my show tomorrow at the Yak Festival.
Yes, buy these $25 tickets for the Yak Festival show at 2 p.m. like I'm a 6-year-old.
Plus booking fee?
Yes. Oh, yeah, $2.50 just in case, that 10%. You really got to stick it to the man, don't you, Tom? But it is Like I'm a 6-Year-Old with Stan Grant, Tom Ballard, obviously, podcast live recording, and the Q&A, which I think will be a really meaty one, because even just this short discussion has brought up a few things. And I like to think I'm quite progressive, but I'm waiting for that, you know, right-wing person in the crowd that's going
to
just...
throw a book.
Yeah, to throw a book.
Well,
throw
Stan,
a shoe.
Look, Stan is no bleeding heart, man. Like, people say he could run for the Liberal Party, he was maybe considering it. You know, he's probably, you know, in a lot of ways, pretty socially conservative. It's just that he dares to maybe suggest there's some racist parts of this country's history, which apparently in Australia puts you on the far left, according to some.
Oh, well, it makes sense to me, you know. That sounds like a conspiracy theory right there. Tom, thank you so much for joining us on the line. It's always a pleasure to have a chat with you.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the show. And if you do want to get along, as we said, it's called Like I'm a 6-Year-Old. Going to be Stan Grant and Tom Ballard down at the Giant Dwarf, 2 p.m. on the 11th of November. $25. Tickets up online now, giantdwarf.com.au. Links will be up on 2scr.com/gaypanic.
Take a breath.
I don't breathe. I am inhuman.
No esophagi.
No esophagi, indeed. Let's take a listen to another song.
Yeah, Docile Tones. What do we got?
This one is from Little Sims, I'm super pumped. So she's just put out Stillness in Wonderland, the deluxe edition. It is up online now. She, as we said, is a producing machine and has such a great little take on this spoken word number. It's with Josh Aker and features some interactions with her sister, her mother, some voice recordings on the phone. I'm going to stop talking over it because I've just realized I'm doing that. So we'll start from the start. Here
you
go.
Really don't breathe, do you?
Okay, Fatty, do SCR.
Me. I'm just on my way home now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to quickly get ready.
All right, cool. Say nothing. I'm just like recording.
Oh, okay.
So, come meet me after.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So the car's coming there at 8.
All right, cool.
Have the clothes come yet or not?
No, they haven't, you know.
Oh, you'll probably come with the car, innit?
All right, cool. Say nothing.
All right, cool.
Peace. Oh, what a day. I've been working on breaks. Car is coming at 8. Jasmine's meant to come meet me, but she'll probably be late. Shit, it's 7:15. Time is running away. I've got just over half an hour to finish this interlude. I put my celly on mute. Everything else can wait. Mom's been belling me off. Haven't seen her in days. She know I'm trying to get to this money, trying to get paid. She sent me good morning text and that shit brightens my day. I never take that for granted, man. That woman is great. I'm forgetful at times and imperfect in ways. But see the love from my mother, you can never replace. She worry about me at times, but she know I'm okay. She getting older, I know, and it's scary to say. Oh, talking about it ain't enough, and I know now, eh. I'ma call her on the phone now, eh. Wait.
Hello, Simbi.
Mom, where are you?
I'm going out, I'm not in.
Where are you?
I'm in the cab.
Where are you going?
I want to see my friend in the southeast.
Oh, okay. Mom, I'm... Yeah, I'm just working. I'm in the studio.
Oh, God bless you. So anyway, good luck, darling. Tell it to everyone.
Yeah, I will.
I love everyone. I love you all.
All right, love you.
Yeah, stay strong.
Oh, what a life. Ain't no time for these guys. Man, my schedule is tight. Leaving London on Saturday and I'm dreading the flight. True, they brought me them comfy seats, so I'll probably be aight. Can't get these words up quick enough, then I'm probably high. If I don't talk much when you see me, I'm probably tired. And you're probably inspired how I juggle these rhymes. Back when I was a youngin', man, it was a simpler time. Shit, I be doing for fun. It's not always serious stuff. That was the realest that's out. You don't always hear it as much. I'm trying to better myself and they playing catch up with me. Don't make me drop another album just to gas up the scene. Don't make me call on my space age brothers to light up your team. There ain't no fuss to give when Josh gets on that mic, how you mean? But shit, I knew something slipped my mind, eh? She was meant to holler Josh, find out what he's saying. What's he saying?
Yo, I just came from watching this show. I love seeing people doing their thing on their own. I was just a bae, I hate that word, but I just had to say. Had a good day, now on my way to the place I call home. On the train, mouth watering like it's rain for the mic. I couldn't wait already, had things in my brain, I'm alright. They all say they got bars, for days I got ways for a life. Brain waves, sound waves, waves that will make you say hi. All of my focus is in this thing I've been focusing on for 7 years and counting. You could never take my focus off, no matter how long that I focus on other things. I always go back to this, cause this is what I've been counting on for the win. I haven't been as involved as I could have been, but way more involved in my life, growing into my skin. I guess it's all relative to each other, everything is of kin. What you do is a reflection of what you are, collection of things.
Check out some of the new music we've got for you on 2SER this week.
the crafty cut and thrust pop of machine translations. Country music in the era of Trump, courtesy of Margot Price. Hey, girl. Hey, girl. Why don't you do the math? And the unearthing of pioneering transgender soul artist Jackie Shane.
I'm a young man. I'm gonna have a lot of fun. I'm talking about pretty women.
To SER 107.3. Stories, ideas, and just another week in great new music.
My son is gay and living in New York, darling. I'm going to New York tomorrow. I can see him.
He won't want to see you.
Of course he will, darling. Gay people love me. All my friends are gay. I mean, I laugh with them. I cry with them, darling. You know, Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
Gay Panic on 2SER. What all the gay boy mums listen to.
Funny, 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 funny!
So full princess with the fitness. Yeah, I'm the bestest, only got good friends. I used to sing sad songs, now I don't give a fuck. I used to worry about plays, now I don't give a fuck. Put these sweethearts on, now I just wanna party. Now there are all these beats and they were genius, but now I'm on it. And yeah, to be honest, it's similar to a top cat. I'm a genius and you just walk out the apple star. Hey, where the cutie rappers go, oh that's me. Where the twinkie rappers go, oh that's me. Where the punks go, oh oh that's me. Where the geniuses go, oh that's me. Hey, that's me, hey, hey. Hey, that's me. I step into the room and get ignored cause I'm confronting. I spice up your life, my cutie baby and my bunting. My past vibes are disgusting cause I'm never bluffing. I'll eat a vegan muffin out your ass, that's some loving. I'm a cutie guy, hey, fuck you PewDiePie, hey. Let's go catch the night, hey, give a kiss the sky, hey. Purple haze, hey, I'm amazed, climate shit. If we don't do something, we'll end up children of man. Hey, where the cutie rappers go, oh, that's me. Where the twinkie rappers go, oh, that's me. Where the punks go, oh, oh, that's me. Where the geniuses go, oh, that's me. Hey, that's me, hey, hey. Hey, that's me. 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 Hey, that's me.
Just announced for Golden Plains, the Lords of Scottish Rock, Mogwai, arrive in Sydney. Submit to their formidable live show with towering intensity and perfect crescendos at post-rock volumes. Sunday, March 4 at the Enmore Theatre. Tickets on sale 9 a.m. Tuesday, November 14. Presented by Penny Drop, Laneway Presents and Chug Entertainment, sponsoring 2SER.
Gay Panic Radio on 2SER or we'll beat the shit out of you. Outside, how about that?
Shouldn't have to work. In a room full of party crashers. Perfect symmetry in all the faces. Chandeliers swinging from the rafters. Have $1 million conversations. I was thinking we should go to Rome for the weekend.
to work so hard. I shouldn't have to work so hard.
Wouldn't it be nice if we got rich? Wouldn't it be nice if we got paid? Taking all the nice expensive shit. Going down some nice expensive shit.
That is a new track from Seattle rocker Grace Mitchell. Got to catch her in San Fran. No big deal. Shout out to me.
When? This year. For what?
For when I went there, just with TK at Outside Lands.
But, oh, okay, at a festival, right. Oh, was she good? Because she had a couple of bangers a few years ago, but I haven't heard too much from her as of late.
Yeah, well, that's the second single. I think there's an LP coming out real soon. That one's Rich. The ones before, or the single before that was French Becky, which I really love. It's got much more of a pop vibe and like 70s guitar, scuzzy stuff.
Yeah.
That one is definitely a shout out to the kind of rocker in her. She's really powerful live, like super enigmatic as a front woman and totally owns the stage, kind of just jumping around all over the place.
Wow.
Before that, you heard from Simo Sue with Adas Me. And up the top, we played a tune for you from, who did we play at the very beginning? Little Sims with Josh Acker.
That was pretty interesting. That was a real kind of blend of spoken word mixed in with a male feature at the end of that one. Simo Sue, Lil Sims. Sorry, the name's very similar. Lil Sims is really doing the circuit. I think she did a gig earlier on this year at the Hudson Ballroom, or maybe it was last year. Maybe she was here at some point.
Yeah, she's pretty much been to Australia every year, I think, for the past kind of 3 years. But
like to catch her?
Yeah, I would love to catch her.
Or outside.
Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, damn
you know,
it.
So on my Tumblr, I saw that Britney Spears, at some point in the world, she wore a Pokemon shirt.
Oh, God.
Like
she's obsessed with Pokemon?
I don't know.
Have you seen her doing a painting?
Holy shit, I have. You're on Gay Panic with Jack and Jake, by the way. We're going to debrief on this Britney stuff. Britney, so I've got my other friend called Tim. He's currently overseas, but coming back, looking forward to seeing you.
Cute.
Him and I will always share with each other what Britney Spears is sharing on her Instagram. Mm. She is kind of a nutto. And not like 2007 Britney, where she had a like mental breakdown, which was tragic to watch. This is like she's quirky, weird cuckoo stuff that she puts up. She'll put like remixes of her own songs and then walk to them in a compilation video of different outfits she's wearing and just be like walking down, Britney remix is playing, and then like smile at the camera. Or she will paint.
So she started painting now and I think is taking it really seriously. It's very strange. So it's basically just short videos of her painting in like some lingerie with this beautiful big nightie on.
Yeah.
And she's got her knee for some reason straddling a chair while she's painting.
Oh.
And
so there are multiple like posts of her painting. I'm going to get them up now, but go on.
And one of them, her most recent, is a watercolor of flowers, and it is definitely at a grade two, maybe grade prep level.
Right.
But she is fully sick loving it, and I just love the confidence she has. I don't know if it's some sort of, you know, disillusion. This is, just the music to her painting.
Oh my God, she's in a bikini. She's on the patio. But the thing is, unfortunately for Britney, it's not, the paintings aren't all that impressive. Mm. It's kind of like high school, you know, arts project.
But update, one of her fans bought the painting for $10,000.
You're kidding me.
And I don't know if it's, I'm hoping it's being used for charity or for something good, but either way, go Britney, you be confident in yourself.
Like, this is a Jackson Pollock at like age 3.
Yeah.
Like, but Britney is good. Like, she's got, you know, some...
Follow her for a laugh.
Funny quirks. She also puts up very random inspirational posts. You know how you got those people online who will just post stuff for the sake of it, and they'll maybe hashtag something or put up a cute little emoji for it. She's put this up. This is from the 13th of October. Eat glitter for breakfast and shine all day.
Go Britney.
Like, I'm... Like, obviously, she has a young fan base. A lot of the demographic now that was a fan when they were younger probably isn't following her all that much.
I feel like they're still, that's her fan base.
I don't know.
Because she's like doing Vegas shows, all that. Anyway, let's skip off Britney for a bit now.
Oh, wait, one more before we go. This is a parking sign that she has screenshotted, and it's a pink parking sign, or what would like kind of look like one. And it's Princess Parking Only, and it's got a little arrow like in the designated area. All others will be towed. But the toad is spelled T-O-A-D. I think because maybe it's a reference to Peach from Super Mario and Toad. Yeah. I have no idea, but only Brittany knows.
Brittany knows all. Really quickly, I wanted to touch on the Mardi Gras Film Festival. It is up for sale. The first 10 films have gone on sale. That one's kicking off basically around February time. Mardi Gras time, obviously. 15th of February through until the 1st of March. Some films that I wanted to highlight, it's really interesting exploration into a 14-year-old non-binary child. The really good thing about this year's Mardi Gras Film Festival, and I think since Lisa Rose has taken over the chair from Paul Struthers as festival director, God bless Lisa Rose, we love you, has upped the ante in terms of films about lesbians, films about women, has been carrying on the torch, I think, that Paul really wanted to start.
Yeah.
And also been upping cultural as well, culturally diverse films. So they is one that I would definitely recommend getting along to. Beach Rats, mainly for the skin. It's basically about a gay guy who's comfortable in his own skin.
I love that we were just talking about, you know, promoting diversity.
Yeah, it's a white gay guy at the beach in the US.
Naked, you see the D.
But the best one that I've seen so far is Boys for Sale.
Okay.
It's about Yuri Sen.
About what?
Yuri Sen? Is that how you say boys in Japanese? Yuri Sen?
Urisen. Yeah. You mean like young boy?
Boys who sell themselves to older men in Japan. Kind of the underground gay Japanese district.
Wow.
It's called Boys for Sale, the film, so pretty much self-explanatory. But basically talking about how Japan's culture has this interesting sexualization within graphic novels, cartoons, manga, all sorts of different things, but then also doesn't want to talk about that on surface value. So in face-to-face conversations or in the way that they present themselves as well, won't necessarily be that outwardly flamboyant unless you are a bit more progressive. But in traditional Japanese culture, definitely not talked about. And it's a documentary that does take a few samples of different young men who will sell themselves. And it sounds really interesting, kind of looking at how that culture looks at itself from a traditionalist point of view and then also from a more modern point of view. So it looks really, really interesting. I'm excited to see that one.
Otoko no kodomo, which means like male child. But interesting as well that you raised that up, because I remember when I was in Japan and we went to Shinjuku Nichome, which was the kind of like gay district within Shinjuku and Tokyo. And we stumbled into a pornographic video store with my friend and I just to kind of like suss it out and see what was going on there. And very much that fascination and fantasy kind of sex manga crossover weird blend of different stuff, which is like heavily ingrained like manga and, you know, anime into their culture, but that it crosses over into that sexualized territory as well is really interesting. Kind of a weird parallel to draw with that movie, but it sounds like a fascinating topic.
Yeah,
and then
for sure.
Also exploration and also quite tragic.
And those ones are all on sale now. Most of these films are things that probably won't get a release, or if that, they'll have a limited one. So the films that you are seeing at the film festival have been chosen specifically for you. Definitely check it out. Boys for Sale is the name of it. But everything's up on sale right now. queerscreen.org.au. Let's take another track. We're going to have a listen to this one from Fisher Spooner. Why do we love this?
I liking this. It's kind of giving me, I'm really liking the collab, male, female, blended vocals. It's just like a nice glitchy alt pop song.
Here we go. You're in Gay Panic on 2SCR with Jack and Jake.
The judge. southerners.
Panic on 2SCR.
Don't scream into it. It's like speak over it like that.
Don't panic.
I said don't panic.
Yeah, why? Why?
Gay panic on 2SCR.
Good.
That's the program you're listening to. The song before that one was from Fisher Spooner with Caroline Polchek.
Togetherness.
So good.
I'm feeling very together with you. I also don't know why I'm weirdly coming on to you tonight.
No, I'm like kind of nervous but also excited and yeah. Like just worried about the conversation I might have to have with Josh a little bit later on tonight.
Josh being your wife.
Yeah, my new wife. It's like a big deal, so don't tell anyone about it.
Unofficial because we are not yet in that place in which we are able to call our gay boyfriends our wives. Like,
yeah.
That's just unfortunate.
But we may have some really good news for you next Friday. We'll see how the vote goes. I'm nervous. I'm excited.
I also can't believe that we will be on the air as we found out this result. Like we were talking at the beginning of the show, it just seems like this ridiculous swell up until this point. I'm swollen. Like I had a rash from this postal survey. But looking forward to being able to, whether or not is celebrate or dissect the result that does come out 10 o'clock next Wednesday. Yes or no is, it's pretty much we don't have, what else could we have? A maybe?
A maybe.
Or be like, or be like oh, not sure, really. Or if we get a standstill and we get a hung vote.
I would love
a hung vote.
Would you?
I'd love a hung.
Yeah, I'd love something quite hung.
You know, so my boyfriend, and you just heard him in that sting, is Czech. And so he's got a Slovakian friend called Martina who will always ask me or ask him a night after drinking, are you hung? Are you hung?
Right, right,
because
right.
she didn't realize that it meant are you well endowed. But so now I always laugh at her. And that's a fun little story about how I am a bully.
Well, to hear two more bullies next week, tune in from 7 p.m. on Friday. We are going to be doing that classic crossover with Hardcore Classic to make it Gaycore Classic.
Amazing.
Soft Hands is going to be on the deck, so that should be really fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Gay, hip-hop, yes.
And what a way to go out as well, like we said a little bit earlier on. Only two more programs in the Gay Panic catalogue, and then we are coming to not a yearly close, and in fact, close forever. So we want to make these two shows really amazing for you. Actually, probably going to go back in time and speak to some of our favourite guests we've had on the show over the years. Lisa Rose might be one.
She might make an appearance. Nat Randall may also make an appearance.
I might be back because I have to do this.
I've also heard Jesse Archer might be coming on.
No way!
Yeah.
The original trio?
True.
Original duo. Oh, that would be so great. But in the meantime, here's a track to take you into Hardcore Classic. What is it?
This is some beautiful glitch hop. It's a little bit more slow, but it should ease you in. Slide you in, if you will. It is Zol Zala, NYE or Nay.
NYE or like New Year's Eve?
Well, it's like uppercase then two lowercase. So,
Nya.
From Zol Zala. You're in Gay Panic on 2SCR. See you next week.
Bye.
The people here will love the way, like, obviously, something's better than real.
dead, you don't stay the peacock.